three gentlemen here to talk about a team, a shooting team, all right? But we'll get into specifics in just a moment. Jim Johnson, Luke Kramer, Brian Finker here. So we'll start with Jim. Jim, why are you guys here? There's something going on and you want people to know about it, right?
Correct. We, I guess it's kind of a unique story, but starting back in December, the leadership Mitchell County class decided that it was going to adopt its class project as being developing a trap and skeet range here in Mitchell County. In and around the same time, the college had been considering putting together a shooting sports team as a club team for the college and also the high school. And so that has really come to fruition here this spring. Particularly with the high school, we've managed to get a team fielded for this year. And that's part of the Kansas State High School Clay Target League. And we've been shooting now for a month or more, a month and a half, and it's going really well. So,
And this is kind of catching steam, I know, because I've seen there's more and more teams that are popping up that are they're doing this. What do you know kind of where it began, the movement to do more of this?
Yeah, actually, it's part of the ATA, which is the American Trap Association, but it really started in high schools in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And there's actually, I believe the number is, like 20,000 teams across the United States that are part of this. And it's really a unique concept because the, being part of this league, it provides insurance for the coaches and the kids, and it provides training for the coaches and the kids, and it's very organized. And it's scored much like handicap in golf. You know, no matter where you play, mm-hmm. you turn your scores in, and then the team score is calculated and so on. So it really works great, and it's a good concept.
Luke is here, and Brian, you guys can just jump in whenever you want, or as when we have some groups of people here. They're here for moral support, and they're in the back, way away from the microphone.
They are handling the other phase of this.
The other phase of this? All right, let's go into the next phase, which is the range, right?
Yeah, so big part of my part in this was being part of the leadership Mitchell County class of 19. We decided to make that our class project, was to come up with or develop a plan for this range, because we knew there's very interested community members being part of a lot of the NGOs. We knew people wanted to do it, were very interested. We just needed to get it moving. So we broke up into committees, and we ended up doing a lot of the grant writing, and we were awarded $5,000 from the Solomon Valley Community Foundation, and then the Dangy Hansen just awarded us $48,000, which are going to be very instrumental in getting these ranges built. And like I said, Nebraska's had trap ranges for a long, long time. Then, you know, Concordia got theirs, and then, you know, we knew that, you know, the community would be able to step up and get this done. So we, Leadership Mitchell County Class 19, thought it would be a good project to start developing. And then when the NCK Tech College mm-hmm. came forward with a place, that's mm-hmm. when things really got moving.
Well, you said ranges. Is there, are you guys working on one range, or are there multiple ranges? Or?
So it's one range. It'll be what the plan is right now is having two trap ranges, with one of them having a skeet combo on it. So and skeet is kind of more a little bit more unique to college shooting teams. It's mm-hmm. starting to become more popular in the college. So we wanted to still have that aspect with the NCK Tech College being there and just having another opportunity for people. But two trap ranges, and with one being a skeet combo with the trap.
And you mentioned the college. So where would this be?
The college has a quarter of land. It's 3 miles north of Beloit, and basically I'm starting a half a mile back west. It's where the heavy equipment is located, mm-hmm. and it will be in the south end, in the middle of that quarter, kind of hopefully out in the, away mm-hmm. from most folks anyway.
Yeah, how much did you have to kiss up to President Burks to get that happen?
You know, like I said, the college wanted, they've been wanting this for a yeah. long time, and so it was just kind of a perfect storm where it all fell together. I mean, this range theoretically will be used, you know, on our team. We've got Beloit High kids, we've got St. John's kids, the college will have a team, you know, Wild Turkey Federation has youth programs, so does Pheasants Forever, you know, a lot of different entities will use this. Plus, our goal is to have it open to the public. I mean, not that you can walk in there and use it, but certain times the range will be open for public use and maybe shoot a league or something like that as well.
Would there be like fees to use it?
Yeah, I'm certain there will be. Yeah.
I would think so. Brian, what do you like to add?
Well, you know, my biggest part of this is helping our youth and getting our youth started in the right way. You know, eventually I like to bring it in to where we can have our junior high through high school kids shoot. We'll have our college shoot. Plus, we will also have, you know, any of the residents will have our trap leagues on certain nights. We'll open it up and just be a whole community effort to give somebody else something else to do. And it's a very fun sport. It's challenging. But what I love about it is I help coach. And to see these kids interaction with each other as a team, work as one. We were shooting online the other night, and one of the students was struggling a little bit. And one of the other students stopped what he was doing, went over, talked to him, tried to help him out. Mm-hmm. And that's what they do. All these kids work together. And when you see that happen, that's my passion for this because, you know, we want to teach hunter safety from the get-go and help everybody out and have a facility that people can use that for.
How old would someone need to be to participate in this?
The league allows it from sixth grade on.
Okay.
This year, we consciously decided that, you know, we were just going to have high school kids, and we even tried to narrow it a little further to kids that already had their hunter safety in place, you know, that were fairly well-versed on handling firearms. And you know, there are requirements for number of kids per coach and so on. And so, you know, we got a little bit of a late start, you know, for this year. And so we have 13 kids, 12 are from Beloit High, one is from St. John's. And they're all incredible shooters. I mean, they are. Jacob Porter, which would be Stuart and Angie's son, he shot two perfect scores so far this year. Brant Boldy shot a perfect score. My nephew Creighton shot about a half dozen 24s that he can't get over the hump, but you know, it's fun to watch them. I mean, we've got some really talented kids.
Do they have to pass any kind of courses before they actually do this? I mean, what are the requirements before they?
Well, all of our kids are hunter safety certified, right, okay. And so that counts. But if they aren't, there is a protocol through the league that they can do, but. Like I said, we just consciously chose kids that were mm-hmm. already, and it just kind of worked out that way. But all of the kids that we have were hunter certified or hunter safety certified.
And one thing I might add to that is Scott Stover with Pheasants Forever and myself, and we'll usually try to put on two hunter education courses mm-hmm. a year within this area, and we might even amp that up a little bit with this trap and mm-hmm. skeet range coming to the boy.
Okay. So if somebody's listening right now and they have a child or a kid or somebody they know that would be interested in participating, because what are we talking about in regards to building the range and all that? What's a timeline? You got an idea?
Depends on when it quits raining.
Yeah.
But really it could start, you know, as soon as it gets dried up, because you know, the college is going to provide the dirt work necessary. And then, you know, we've all been talking, and particularly Brian, to, you know, people that are going to supply in-kind kind of donations, people that are, you know, contractors that are willing to pour the concrete, build the building, you know, do all those sorts of things. And so hopefully it'll start up this summer. I mean, we would like to have it in place to where we could start shooting kids on it in the fall. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be the goal. The league in Kansas only occurs in the spring, but mm-hmm. it would be nice to run some practices and have it get going in the fall so we could be a little better organized, you know, than what we were this year. We're shooting up at Jewel now, which works great. And then we're going to take them to Minneapolis, you know, shoot down there and, you know, shoot a couple of different places. So hopefully this will get moving soon. I mean,
okay.
That's the plan.
So this is just for the team side of things. It's just kids, Beloit, is that
and
right?
St. John's.
And St. John's. Okay, mm-hmm. Beloit and St. John's. Yeah, the city of Beloit, town of Beloit. or goes to school at either one of those.
Right.
But you said eventually, once you have that range open, then anybody or the public. So if somebody was listening over in Glen Elder or Osborne wanted to come over, eventually and that's the goal, right?
We had actually talked to Lakeside, you know, and invited them over. I mean, they could – the way it works, you have to have five kids to have your own team. And mm-hmm. so St. John's didn't have enough kids, and so they participate with us through basically an agreement between the schools. Same thing could apply to Lakeside or, you know, Osborne or whatever. I mean, they could have their own team if they had five or more kids and had their coaching staff, or they could come shoot with us. And we did approach them. Like I said, we were really kind of late to the play. I mean, decisions had to be made pretty quick, and I just think they didn't have time to get that all organized. But I think there is some real interest over there.
And so really, I think the way the ATA works through the high schools is as long as you – it's because it's a club, mm-hmm. You can have your athletic director or superintendent sign off on a kid coming over to shoot as part of that club. It's just having enough coaches, again, for the right amount of kids.
Right. Mm-hmm. So who are some of the coaches? Like, how many guys do you have helping out?
Our coaches right now is Brian and I and Kendall Hostler. She was actually a shooter on the Fort Hays team. She's a very accomplished shooter. Kurt Saint from Jewel and his two boys, Nathan and Michael, which Michael is currently he's a shooter on the Fort Hays team now. And so, and then Charlie File is and Gary DeClaire is our head coach. And Gary does all of the paperwork. I mean, you know, he's in charge of the whole operation. Mm-hmm. So
let me ask this question before we let you guys go, is that certainly, as we know, we just heard top of the hour news. There's a shooting in a school. And I don't want to get into any kind of gun debate because everybody has their opinion. You're not going to change them on that. But for people that are listening, they're like, okay, that sounds kind of interesting, but I'm worried about the safety angle of it, you know, because there was an accident here recently up in Concordia,
right,
that I know people are probably aware of. How would you respond to that? Because I know accidents do happen. God forbid you don't want anything like that. But how do you go about making really, really sure that it's a safe environment and the kids really know what they're doing? Because I think that could be a challenge if just one person doesn't do something quite right.
Well, I guess, you know, my answer to that would be, you know, particularly the issue that happened in Concordia, you know, that would not have happened on a range.
Right.
You know, I mean, safety is, we deal with it every single time that we come out. You know, the gun is never loaded until they're ready to send it down range. A single shot is in there. They shoot or they unload before they even move. You know, they're not even walking with a loaded gun. We have at least two coaches, if not three or four, from me to you, mm-hmm. out there all the time. You know, so if there is a problem, a coach seizes control of the gun, and the kids understand this. And you know, and quite honestly, you know, I've been a gun advocate my entire life, and you know, my kids have grown up around guns, and you know, they understand how to use them, they respect them, and that's what we're trying to do here.
Right.
And that's our whole goal, is to bring the guns to the kids, to, you know, to the people that don't quite understand. Mm-hmm. Have them come out, take a look, see what we do, because we want to promote a very, very safe environment, mm-hmm. and a fun environment that people can come to, mm-hmm. and enjoy and have a great time. But safety's always first for us.
Yeah. And teach responsibility, too. I mean, like, all of that.
And honestly, we have not had one single safety issue. But they know if they do, they won't be there anymore, mm-hmm. you know. So,
right. And that's probably one of the bigger reasons why you can only have so many kids per coach situation, mm-hmm. obviously, that ratio. Because if you had one coach and 25 kids, there's a problem there. Yeah, so that would make sense with that ratio. All right, so if anybody's interested to learn more about the club or about the range or how they can help out or be a part of it, how would they get to know all that?
Well, they can certainly contact any of us, and a lot of we've been trying to contact people seeking donations, you know, and honestly, people have been very giving to this point, and it's going to have to continue. You know, people that are willing to come out and swing a hammer and put the power in and that sort of thing. So we're going to be approaching people a lot over the next couple of months to get the donations secured and that sort of thing. But And it's been extremely well received. I mean, people just knock on the door, you know, wanting to be a part of it because they recognize the need and they see value in it.
Do the club or the coaches, who provides the ammo? Who buys the ammo?
The kids are buying their own ammo currently. Okay. Jim and Alicia Bolte donated a gun that we raffled off, and we raised some money to help buy clothing and vests and hopefully we'll be able to use some of that money to help pay for ammunition as well.
Okay.
And hopefully in the quick future, there's other grants through the National Wildlife Turkey Federation and other non-government organizations and even wildlife and parks that for at least shooting events that we have for youth hunts or youth events, we can provide ammunition through those kind of grants and things like that.
All right. So in closing, I'll let each of you have a final word. I'll start with Brian.
Well, you know, like we've all said, that if you want to help, contact us. Get a hold of myself, get a hold of Jim, get a hold of Luke, call Wade here at the radio station, because any help is appreciated. You know, whether it's $5 or $500, anything, even coming out and just having a little bit of labor on the days that we're building stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a community effort, and that's what we want this to be, is for everybody.
Luke, you got.
Yeah, just, I've had a lot of older kids that say, man, finally, you know, something.
Wish that I had that.
Wish I had that. You know, yeah. It's about time when something came like this. Mm-hmm. And I just think, you know, I really want to keep it safe and keep it sustainable. You know, you see a lot of these trap ranges that may or may not last a long time. Well, the goal to this one is to make it last a long time and make it sustainable by being safe. Mm-hmm. So that's the number one thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with everything that they had said. And honestly, you know, kids that want to participate at any level, you know, whether that be helping with the project or shooting on the team, I mean, that's really where I'm at, you know, and it's been great so far, and I'm certain it's going to continue.
Fantastic. Well, guys, thanks for coming in and sharing more about it and more about what's going on. I've learned something right here, and that's what's great when we have Community Matters or when we have Stumped Water. So wake up, guys. We learn lots of interesting information, so we can all learn something new.
One other thing I want to say is this isn't a boy-only sport. Mm-hmm. You know, we do have a girl on our team that outshoots a lot of boys, and that's Sydney Barrett, as mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll know. Mm-hmm. I mean, athletic kid and picks up a gun and just goes to town.
Does a great job.
Yeah.
You know, so we welcome girls. You know, it's equal opportunity sport, really, for anyone.
I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you, Jim. 8:05, our time, 49 degrees. That's Luke and Brian and Jim. And for more information, or if you need to know more about it, or any questions, you can contact them. They're our guests today on Community Matters, brought to you by the First National Bank of Beloit and Mitchell County Hospital Health Systems.